But it's really important to step into our destiny. I think that those who have been here when I've preached just recently on that whole subject, that I mentioned that there are many people that I've met over the years, been in pastoral ministry for over 36 years now, and during that time met so many people, probably, I don't think it would be an exaggeration to say that there's probably dozens and dozens of them that we've met over this period of time, probably hundreds. As we've travelled around this nation and overseas and ministered in different places, and when you go as a visiting minister, a visiting pastor, a visiting preacher, people come up to you and they want to share stuff with you that they don't necessarily want to share with their pastors. And a lot of the time they come and share prophecies over their lives. And they sort of see something in you as a visiting preacher, and they want to sort of get something, and they want to step in, they want to know why it's not happening in their lives, the prophecies that they've had over their lives, and they bring them out. And I've even had people offer tapes to me to listen to over their prophecies they've still got, and they bring them out from time to time, read them, give them to people to read, and they're still hoping it's going to happen. And I think you remember, those who are here, it never will happen. Because they're hoping somehow, they're wishing that something's going to happen. And they've never stepped into the destiny of God. They've never stepped into the arena of God's promise. They've never taken hold of it by faith. They've never hungered and feasted upon the will of God in their heart. So it never happened. And that's a tragic thing. It's a tragic thing when people have got the wrong concept. And the Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. That happens. When people fail to understand that there comes a step of faith that's required upon us to step into the arena of God. It's like Craig and Leanne's got a destiny upon them to pastor, to go out and pioneer and pastor. Unless they step into that destiny and grasp it with everything and feast upon it in their heart and continually make the will of God their food, as Jesus did, then it will never happen. But as they step into the destiny, as you and I step into the destiny of God, we step into the blessing of God. And what Terry shared, you know, she was challenged with a concept that has to do with God, a concept that the first 10% of all that we have belongs to the Lord. And she stepped into that. The Word of God touched her, and she stepped into a destiny. It's not that she stepped into sort of, oh no, I've got to do this. Even though that happens to every one of us. You know, how are we ever going to make it happen? I remember a time when I was just an apprentice and I'd come to the Lord. I was nearly 20 and I was in my last year of my apprenticeship. And so my pay packet was better than the first year of apprentice. And I went to a meeting, it was a youth meeting, and there was a guy speaking on missions. And they were taking up an offering for him, and I really distinctly had this impression. I knew it was God. I knew it wasn't the devil, because he doesn't do that. The devil's selfish. You know, he wants you to get more, bigger, better, brighter. But I knew it was God, because it was something that was foreign to me. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, give it all. Well, I only had my pay packet in my pocket. That's all I had. And I had to pay my car payments, had to pay my board. I was trying to save up to go to Bible college. And all that sort of stuff, and I thought, oh God, I had the same thing of Terry wrestling with this whole thing. I can't give it all, God. I just can't give it all. You know, how am I going to pay my board, my car payments, everything? And just persisted. I couldn't get over it. So I put my hand in my pocket and I pulled out. I tore my pay packet open. I hadn't opened it to that stage. I took all the money out and I crunched the pay packet up and put it back in my other pocket and held all the money in my hand. The offering plate came around and I put the whole lot in the offering plate. And I remember later, after having a great time with the youth that night, and I remember going home and taking, emptying my pockets, and I pulled my pay packet out. And it was not just an empty, scrunched up envelope anymore. And I emptied it out and my whole pay was in that envelope. And I'd put it in the offering. You see, God's no man's debtor. And the amazing thing about God is that we need to step into his destiny. We do. There are times that we do things in our lives that are mistakes. We financially, we're not all brilliant. And so some of us struggle with making really wise decisions in our finances and stuff like that. And so we overcommit and we do all sorts of things like that. And we get ourselves into a place of sort of like, ugh. How can I ever extract myself from this? And God says it clearly. Let me read the scripture that Terry mentioned today. And it comes from Malachi. I want to read out the New Living Testament, New Living Translation, sorry, of Malachi 3:8-12. It says, "Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me." This is God speaking through the prophet. "Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When do we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me." That's an amazing verse. "You've cheated me, you know, by the tithes and offerings due to me." In the message it says this. You ask how we robbed you. The tithe and the offering, that's how. And now you're under a curse, the whole lot of you, because you're robbing me. And then he goes on to say, "Bring your full tithe into the temple treasury so that there will be ample provision in my temple. Test me in this and see if I don't open up heaven itself to you and pour out blessing beyond your wildest dreams. For my part, I will defend you against marauders, protect you, protect your wheat fields and vegetable gardens and against plunderers." The message of God of the angel armies. You'll be voted happiest nation. You'll experience what it's like to be a country of grace. God of the angel armies says this. Another translator says, "The Lord of hosts says this." I love the God of the angel armies says this. You'll be the happiest nation. He says, "Test me in it." He says, "Step into the arena of it. Don't just have it as a concept up there." You know, it's a really interesting thing that when you go back into Leviticus chapter 7 and chapter 27, I'm sorry, in verse 30, it says, "Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It's holy to the Lord. If therefore a man wishes to redeem part of his tithe, he shall add to it one-fifth of it." In other words, God expected if they held their tithe back, they'd have to pay a fifth interest on it. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? You see, it all goes back to something. I want you to understand something here. I'm not talking about money. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not sharing this with you to sort of say, we need more money in the church, although that's true. We got a memo this week from Tracy, bless her heart, and it says that we really need to tighten the belt on everything. Over $2,000 was taken out of the savings account just to keep us afloat. And that all needs to be paid back in. So, yes, it's got to do with money. But it hasn't got to do with money. Do you know what I'm saying? It hasn't got to do with money. It's got to do with stepping into the destiny of God. It's got to do with stepping into the destiny of God for His blessing. It's got to do with stepping into the destiny of God for this city. It's got to do with stepping into the destiny of God for this nation. It's got to do with stepping into the destiny of God for the nations. It's got to do with stepping into the destiny of God so that His blessings can flow in our individual lives and out through us corporately. That's what it's got to do with. That's an amazing thing. You see, it all goes back into Genesis. Let me read something to you in Genesis chapter 1. Amazing passage of scripture. This is the creation. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female, and he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth and every tree which has fruit yielding seed. It shall be food for you and to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the sky and to everything that moves on the earth which has life. I have given it to you." Now, the amazing thing about God is this, and we need to see first of all that God created everything. And if He created everything, He owns everything. That's pretty cool. That means you and me as well. He owns the whole lot. He created us. He created everything. The Bible says He owns all the gold and silver and all the wealth and everything that's on the earth and everything that's under the earth. And everything that's in the heavens, God owns the whole lot. He created it. That's pretty cool. It belongs to God. It belonged to God. And then there is something else that comes out of this verse, of this passage of Scripture, and it's called dominion. God created it, God owns it, but he's given to man dominion. He's given to you and me dominion over his creation. That's why we work. That's why we make money. That's why we build houses. That's why we manufacture things. That's why we're still trying to send spaceships up into outer space. That's why the old adventurers not only discovered their own lands but went across the seas. That's why people have died with trying to break sound barriers. And that's why people have died going into space. And that's why people died going across the seas. That's why the scientists and all the technological people are trying to find ways to prolong life, to defeat disease, and to do all those sorts of things. That's why man is bent upon trying to overcome and have dominion. That's the whole thing of God. He's put it into the heart of man. That's who we are. And then the Bible tells us that we sold our dominion for a lie. We sold it to the devil. And he became the prince of the power of the air. He became the ruler of this world. He's the ruler of darkness. And that humanity, mankind, fell from the destiny and the purpose of God to have dominion. And from that time on, man was no longer having dominion, but he was subject to the creation. In other words, pestilence, famines, storms, tsunamis, all sorts of stuff started to break out. Earthquakes, volcanoes. You know, whole societies were lost by volcanic eruption. Tidal waves and sort of everything that you can imagine that hits the human experience happens because man is no longer in dominion, exercising his lordship over God's creation. And you know where it goes back to? It goes back to the fact, I just get a bit of a ring here somewhere, I don't know where it is, it might be the fallbacks. It goes back to the fact that when God created, man refused to continue to step into his creational order and step back from it and relinquished it to another. That set off in the creation the whole force of self, selfishness, self-survival, and all of that sort of stuff that happens in the human experience. Pretty tragic, isn't it? You know, we know it, we can look at it, we can identify it, we can sort of think about it, but that's really what's happened. And every human being, doesn't matter who he is or she is, every human being knows that there is a greater destiny than what they experience right now. Every human being knows that. They know they're going to something. Hey, thank you. That's great. I'm starting to get this ring going here. What that means is this. It means that at that point of time when that happened to humanity, it means that we went into something that was called the curse. A curse came upon humanity. And the whole of the Old Testament is a story of man's journeying through the curse. And God coming to show man that he needn't live under that curse. God showed his law. He gave his law, his Ten Commandments. God showed man how to live. And it's really amazing that the people who broke out of the curse into destiny, people like Abraham, for instance. Abraham, you know, coming back from war, and he had these great spoils from war, and he came across a priest from Salem. You know, at that stage they weren't Jews anywhere, really. And he came across a priest from Salem, and his name was Melchizedek. And it means basically that nobody knows where he was from. He didn't have a genealogy. They tried to trace him down. There was nothing there that sort of showed. And when you get to Hebrews, it talks about this Melchizedek, and it says that that Jesus is the same sort of priest as Melchizedek. In other words, Melchizedek, back when Abraham met him, was a type of Jesus. We could say it was a Christophany. It was Jesus was there somehow.
And when Abraham met him, for some unknown reason, there's no logical reason for it, even before the law was put into place, even before Moses is there and gives the law and all that, even back then, Abraham gave a tenth of everything to Melchizedek for the priest. Talks about that in Hebrews, talking about that, and how Jesus is a greater priest than Melchizedek. A really interesting concept. What happened was that Abraham stepped into the arena of God. He stepped out of the curse and he stepped into acknowledging God. What he did when he did that, he acknowledged, God, everything that I have is from your hand. Everything that I'm able to accomplish is from your hand. You've promised me that everywhere where the soles of my feet tread, you know, that my descendants will be more numerous than the stars of the sea, than the sands of the seashore. Stars of the heavens, I mean, the sands of the seashore. That was clever. And he had this ringing within him, and he stepped into God's destiny. Do you understand that? He stepped into God. He stepped into the word of God, the promise of God. And he held nothing back. He made mistakes along the way, sure. And we all do. I can remember times in my life when, even though I've experienced many times when God's required me to give more and way above beyond anything I could give, and then other times when I've sort of compromised and held back, and I can identify in my life the times, it's almost like the times when the blessings of God were withheld, and then times when the blessings of God were released. I remember a time when I refused to discipline my kids, and God's provision and blessing was withheld because I refused to step into his destiny of being a loving father who provided security for my children. And until I identified that and realized what God was saying and stepped into his destiny and did the tough thing, the blessings of God flowed. So I'm not talking about money here, although it has to do with money. It has to do with God's creational ownership and our dominion over the creation. And a lot of us think that it all has to do with Old Testament stuff, but it doesn't. Let me read to you a couple of scriptures here. We're talking about the grace of giving and the blessing of giving. In Mark chapter 12, this is in the Message, love it. Verse 41 to 44, Jesus says, sitting across from the offering box, he was observing how the crowd tossed money in for the collection. Many of the rich were making large contributions. One poor widow came up and put in two small coins, measly 2 cents. Jesus called his disciples over and said, the truth is that this poor widow gave more to the collection than all the others put together. All the others gave what they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly. What she couldn't afford, she gave her all. What happened to this woman? She's recorded in the Word of God for all posterity. She stepped into the destiny of God. You know, I mean, it's all and all or nothing at all with God. Now, he doesn't require you to put everything you own in. I mean, he's done that to me on one occasion, and I thank the Lord for that, because it taught me a lot. But the reality of this is something in God of stepping into his destiny. When a young man meets a young woman and they decide that they're going to become one. Do you know, I still remember we got a CD, a sort of a DVD thing from Paul and Hannah sent to us when they got engaged. We're over in West Australia. That's where we met Hannah the first time. It was a CD, I can't remember, DVD, whatever it was. And then we had the opportunity to come over and meet them, you know, and then we've seen them as they're going through as a young married couple, and you know, they're really, nearly an old married couple now, you know. But the reality of it is that when a young man meets a young woman meets a young man, they don't do it half-heartedly. You know what I mean? It's all in, boots and all, isn't it? You know what I mean? It has to do with the fact that there is a destiny here. They've committed themselves from being two individuals to become one. When you and I come to Jesus, We have the same destiny. When you and I come to Jesus, we step out of our individual lifestyle and we enter in to be married to Jesus. He becomes our bridegroom. We become his bride. And when we really understand the destiny that God's destined for us, we can't hold back from that. And I want to put it this way. Any person, two persons come together in that sense, they hold all things common, don't they? I couldn't imagine Paul having his bank account and Hannah having her bank account, and you don't touch my bank account, you don't touch my bank account, and you don't drive my car and I don't drive your car, and, you know, you sleep on your side of the bed and I'll sleep on my side of the bed. In fact, we'll get single beds, that'd be better, you know? I couldn't imagine that, could you? No, when you become one, you're one. Your bank accounts are one, everything's one. You eat the same food, you do the same shopping, you're washing the same washing machine. You know, you do all the stuff together. You bath in the same bath and shower in the same shower and you do it all together. You know, well, do you know what I mean? And when we come to Christ, we become one with him. Our bank account can't be separate from his. Do you understand that? He is our bridegroom, we're his bride. We can't hold separate bets, so to speak. We can't say, okay, God, I understand that's okay for some people, but it's not for me. I'm going to make my bet over here. You have your bet over there. It can't work that way. We're one in this thing. Do you understand? And when we're one in this thing, guess who gets the best deal? I used to think that God got a good deal when he got me. You know, I was so full of pride and arrogance and thought I was going to win and save the world and all that sort of stuff when I first got saved and first started to preach. Yeah, it's taken 36 years to sort of break that down. Guess who gets the best deal? We do. What do we get? We get a father who owns a cattle on a thousand hills. We get a savior who knows all of our weaknesses and intercedes for us beyond measure. We have a Holy Spirit living with us who intercedes for us with groanings too deep to be uttered. We have a God who's come to make up his dwelling place in us. He lives in us. The amazing thing about God is that he condescended, listen, he condescended to come to the earth in his Son and take on the form of a man to be our Savior and to win us to himself, so that we're married to him forever. And he condescended to fulfill everything of the Old Testament in you and in me. Because he says, you're now temples. You're my temples. Not temples made with human hands. You're my temples. He said, you're a temple of my Holy Spirit. I live in you. And, you know, there is something that works against us from stepping into his destiny when we fail to realize where our theology is so selfish and so limited and so shallow that we think that somehow we've got to do a whole lot of spiritual gymnastics to get God's touch on our lives and blessing on our lives. We still spend so much time trying to get the Holy Spirit to come upon us. And the Bible says, he's in us. And if he's in us, then how come we don't see him exploding out of us? Because Jesus said this. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will well up within you. He'll come like torrents of living water. And he will well up within your being. And he will gush out of you. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants. Well, how come we don't see it? You see, we started off praying for people this morning and we made the statement that Jesus said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And I remember saying, well, if all authority is given to Jesus, well, guess who's got none? The devil has got no authority. It's all, Jesus got it all. He has no authority. He has no authority over your life. He has no authority over my life. He has no authority. And the only thing the Bible says about the devil is that he's a deceiver. He's full of deception. He deceives. And so the only authority that he has in Paul Wellham's life is the authority that Paul Wellham relinquishes to him and gives to him. The only authority he has in my life is the authority I give to him. And when do I give give authority to the devil? When I refuse to step into my destiny in God. That's when I give him the authority. When I'm selfish and I hold on to the stuff that I think's mine. And I fail to realize that I'm married to Jesus and it all belongs to him. When I live for myself, for me, for mine, and I'm in that sort of lifestyle, when I'm in there, then I give the devil authority in my life, and the Spirit of God who lives in me becomes grieved and quenched. And he doesn't flow out like rivers, torrents of living water. But we all know it's meant to be that way. And we know that Jesus got the authority. And we know that Jesus has come to give us life in the full abundance it was meant to have. And we're meant to step into this freedom, this life. And the only way we can know this freedom and this life is by becoming like our Lord and like our God, becoming a giver. You know, God's amazing. Jesus says this, if you try to find your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and for the gospel's, you'll find it. Unto eternity. So it's sort of like God's economy so different from our economy. It's like, you know, our economy says, work hard, save hard, do whatever you can, store up for rainy day, do all this sort of stuff. And yet Jesus gave a parable about that, didn't he? He said there was a man who stored up into his barns. You know, he had great wealth stored into his barns. The Lord said, you fool, don't you realize your life is required of you right now? Let me read a couple of scriptures to you. Really great scriptures. Jesus says in Matthew 5:17-18, I want to read it out of the Message again. He says, don't suppose for a minute that I have come to demolish the scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. I'm going to put it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and the earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. And in the New Living Translation, it says this. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of a pen will be by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. I'll give you an illustration. If you're not a tither or a giver to the Lord and you start giving, I want to promise you, if you're not a tither and a giver and you start giving, like Terry did, through a testimony, not making a big thing about Terry, but just a story, you know, just a story of the grace of God. If you start doing that, I want to promise you that the love for his church will grow and grow and grow in your heart. The Bible says to give and to bring your tithes into the storehouse. It doesn't say to bring and give your tithes into Soul Cafe so that you get a tax deduction. You know, Soul Cafe is not the storehouse. This is the storehouse. This is where we get fed. When we give into the giving, and we may give into the cafe and we may get a tax deduction for it, that's not tithes, that's our giving. That's tithes and giving. That's giving. We can give to missions, we can give somewhere else. But God says clearly that we bring the tithe into the storehouse. That's our destiny. What it does is it fulfills what Jesus says, that where your heart is, there your treasure will be. Or where your treasure is, there your heart will be. In other words, when you and I step into the destiny of God, it means that we hold nothing back from him from wherever we are. You know, some people struggle in church. And I've questioned in my heart over all these years, why is it some people struggle trying to find where they fit? And most of the time, it's they're people who sort of like are trying to sort of look at the whole thing and think, wow, you know, we've heard so much about Hillsong. You know, we saw a TV program this week about Hillsong. You know, about all the money they've got and all this sort of stuff and all that. And, you know, we hear all the stories and we tend to sit back and we look and we want to make judgments. And we want to just look on, we want to be on the outside and just look. And then when we see something that we don't like, we become really critical, hey. I want to tell you something about folks that are in that place. I can tell you they're people that don't give. Do you know, I've given my whole life, 36 years, to serving the Lord and His people. It's the greatest privilege in my life. We don't have what a lot of folk have. We don't have stuff that a lot of people have and all that sort of stuff. But we know, Margaret and I know, that we're storing up treasure in heaven. And we know there is something burning in our hearts. Do you know what it is? It's our love for His people. It's our love for His body. It's our love for His church. So that our heart is where His heart is. His heart is for His bride. You know, I had this accident back when the earthquake happened. And I had all this microsurgery and pins inserted. And I was going to have this all amputated and stuff like that. A golden staph infection in it, and they're going to take it all off, and it's a horrible thing. And then I went to the hospital, and they put all this, you know, when it wouldn't clear up, and they put this injection in my good arm, and said I was going to be operated on, and I'm in absolute agony, and I'm complaining to the nurse, and she's coming and saying, "Mr. Allthorpe, we told you this was going to be uncomfortable. It's the most severe sort of antibiotics we can pump into you." And Margaret come in, I'm in a sweat, and I'm really sick. I came in healthy. It's just I had this great infection in my hand. The next morning, the matron came in, and I'm absolutely really sick now. And she said, pops her head and said, "Mr. Allthorpe, how are you?" And I said, "Can you please have a look at this?" And this arm's swollen up like this. It's like a balloon. And she looked at that, and I won't tell you the expletives that she said. So, yes, sir, well, I'll tell you what she said. This is the exact word she said. She looked at it, she said, "Get that bloody thing out of his arm now." And all this whole time, all night, they were fasting me and putting me into the, and they didn't have the antibodies going into the vein. It was just going into the flesh tissue. You know, and this arm's really bad now. This is the arm that's bad. Nothing's happened. And I said, "Will you please bring me my clothes?" And I said, "You can't leave." I said, "You stop me." And I asked God, I cried out to God, I said, "Why is this all happening?" Because when I fell through the roof that the engineer said would support me, and I'm working with a heavy-duty angle grinder, and the whole thing collapses and cuts my hand just about off, and I nearly bled to death trying to get out of that roof. When I went through that whole experience, and now this stuff with the doctors and the hospital and stuff like that, and I'm in that place, and I'm saying, "God, why?" And I've got this golden staph infection, and He spoke to me clearly. Really clearly. And the only person I shared it with was with Margaret. And then while I've still got this horrible infection, I had to go to Adelaide, fly to Adelaide, and speak in a charismatic Baptist church, big church over there, and did a leadership training conference and stuff like that, and preached in their service. And in the Sunday morning service, an old lady came up to me afterwards, just a really old lady. She must have been about 80-something, about as old as my dad. And she came up to me. It's not so old now when you get to 60. And she came up to me and she said to me, she got hold of me and, "Hey, how's that? My kids think that's the coolest thing. They signed my cast. Their pop got a broken wrist playing cricket." There's a story for that too from the doctors. But anyway, and I get there and I've preached, and this lady, and I've got my arm in a sling, that's all. I didn't say anything about anything that's happened to me. And this little lady came up to me. She said, "Can I share something with you?" I'm telling you this story for a reason. This little lady stepped into a destiny. She stepped into a destiny. And she shared something with me. It was exact words that God had spoken to my heart when I was back over here in Newcastle. Now I'm 1,000 miles away in Adelaide. And the only other person knew anything about was Margaret. And she didn't go to Adelaide with me. She's still back here. And this little lady's just shared this with me. And I went up to the pastor after. I said, that little lady over there, I said, does she ever have words from God? He said, no. The pastor now is the principal of Table College in Adelaide, John Annals. And he said, no. I said, she's never gone up to people and shared anything with me. He said, no. But at that one little time, she stepped into a destiny. And she confirmed to me what God had spoken in my heart that I'd only mentioned to one person, my wife. And it was this, that God said to me when this all happened in my hand. And when I came back from that ministry in Adelaide, I came back and the Lord said, they said couldn't take the bandages off, and I had to go in every second day to have saline solutions and wet bandages on. I could never have it in the sunlight. And they said, and I asked God, and God said, salt and light. So I took all the bandages off, I went to the cupboard and got the sacks of salt shaker, and I poured salt all over it, and I can tell you that stung. But in two days, it was healed. It was healed. You know, I never went back to the hospital after that. Except to get the pins pulled out. That wasn't bad either. But anyway, this little lady said this. And this is what God said. He said, the severing and the brokenness within your hand that you'll carry for the rest of your life. And I've had lots of people try to pray for healing for me. The Lord said, and this little lady said the same thing, the brokenness and the severing in your body, in your hand, is there to remind you to ever pray for the healing of the brokenness and the severing in the body of Christ. I love the church. I love the church. I love it. And I know God did that. I know God put me through that. I know God did that in my flesh and in my body, and I cried out and said, why? And that happened to me. And I want to tell you this, that when you put everything into something, when your heart is there, that's where your treasure is. And I want to say to all you folk today, listen, love one another. Love one another. And the only love that we have for one another is when we give. It's not an emotion. Even though it can be that, it's not just a nice little feeling somewhere in the depth of us. It's practical. It's stepping into the destiny of God. It has to do with everything with God says. It has to do with stepping into the place of dominion. And you can't do that when you're clutching on your own. God says, give the first 10% to Him. Give a lot more to Johnny Howard. God says, give the first 10% to Him. He says that for a reason. So that our hearts will be knit together in love. It's a grace of giving. It's a grace of giving. So that our hearts will be knit together in love. And that our treasure will be in reaching the community with the love of Jesus. Hey, many empty seats here this morning. Hey. Probably because everyone knew Kev wasn't going to be here. Many empty seats. I can tell you something. It will not be long if we step into it that every seat in this place will be filled and we'll be running to multiple services. Every seat. Let's stand up and pray together. Jesus, we thank You for the story of that little widow who put her 2 cents in the offering, but it was all she had. She held nothing back. She stepped into her destiny. God, You have got great destinies here, individual destinies for individual people. Great destinies. Great destinies. There are people here who have had prophecies over their lives. And they've never entered into, never embraced it. Still wondering if it's going to happen somehow. God, that we become like You and become givers. Step into our destiny. Step into the destiny of being Your bride. Of holding nothing back from You, Lord. Step into the destiny the way in which you said it was. Jesus, you didn't abolish the prophets. You didn't abolish the law. You fulfilled it. You paid your tithe. You paid your taxes. It's always been a given. And somehow it's got to be, it's got to do, and it's linked with our destiny. It's got to do and linked with us being givers. It's got to do with us being lovers. We've got to ask ourselves, Jesus, how much do we love Newcastle? How much do we love Newcastle? How much do we love our neighbours? How much do we love the people of Newcastle? How much do we love the people of Australia? How much do we love them? God, how much do we love them? Jesus, how much do we love Newcastle? How much do we love them? How much do we love Cambodia? How much do we love the orphans that Donna's working with? How much do we love them? God, how much do we love? Forgive us today, Lord, for being selfish. Let us be inspired by the stories that Terry shared. And let us be inspired, God, that you want us to step into a destiny. Not just a destiny of our money, but a destiny of our giving, of our loving, a destiny of being your bride, of having everything with you. Thank you, Jesus.